Jesus Christ and his presence in the Bible, whether it's before his pre-incarnate birth or in the New Testament when we actually see the events of his birth and his life and as it is recorded. And so went through some of the types or things that typify the Lord in the Old Testament. We went through the book of Genesis, and so I would like to approach the book of Exodus and go through some of this. It's hard not to talk about things that the book has to say, which may be not even related to what I want to talk about, but Exodus is a book that has the history of the nation of Israel. It also talks about doctrine in the tribulation, in the rapture, and some of the coming, the second coming of the Lord. Exodus also talks about things that are practical, and we can do practical things. Even 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about these things were written for our admonition. But I'd like to talk about some of the spiritual things. And those spiritual things would be what we might call devotional, but they're spiritual, and they have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he may not be mentioned. I would say, if you would, let's start with a verse in the book of Luke, chapter 24, familiar verse. We've been there many, many times. But the Bible says that we're supposed to stir ourselves up in regard to the things of the Scriptures. And so we do that every Sunday. We do it at home with our family and when we're alone. And so in Luke 24, verse 44, it says, "And he said," that's Jesus, "unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you." And this is after the resurrection. "That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in Psalms concerning me." Everything in the Bible that's written has some regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, based on that, and he talks about Moses, and of course, Exodus is the second book written in the Old Testament. And so, if you'll keep your page in Exodus, we'll be going back and forth to a few other scriptures, but we'll be coming back to Exodus. So we'll go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. And it says, "And when the Lord saw that he," that's Moses, "turned aside to see," this is the burning bush, "God called him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." And so we're talking about the account of Moses. This is the account where Moses meets with God. And verse 10 says, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring us forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. And Moses is going to lead the people out of bondage from Israel into the promised land, or the land of milk and honey. And the Lord Jesus Christ leads a lost sinner out of the world, out of the bondage of sin, unto everlasting life, to those that believe and trust him as their Savior. I'm highlighting a lot of this. I'm not going to get into any depth, but I'll just highlight it. One of the first public ministries that Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ did was to turn water into blood, or water into wine. And so there's similarities. I would say, if you would, we'll go to Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. And so this is Moses speaking. And Moses said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. And Moses is a prophet. And from the midst of thee, he will raise this up, and of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? The prophet's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can confirm that if we go to, you can keep your place here in Exodus, and we'll go to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 45. Am I still on? And here, this is the account of Jesus Christ, and he meets with Philip and Nathanael, two of the disciples. And in verse 45, he says, Philip findeth Nathanael, and he saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. And this is confirmation of what we read there in Deuteronomy. And this is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Moses is a type of Christ. And we confirm this here from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we're just looking at things that are before the pre-incarnate birth of Jesus Christ that are accounts of in the Old Testament. So if you would, we'll go back to Exodus. We'll go to chapter 3. And verse 14, this would be the next account of something that is representative of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And in verse 14 of chapter 3, it says, well, Moses is talking to God, and he says, who should I tell the children of Israel if you're going to send me to lead them out of Egypt? Who should I say you are? And God said unto Moses, I am. That I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word I am. And we'll go to the book of John, if you would, and we'll confirm this in the New Testament. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 57. We'll start in 57. And the Jews are talking to him. In verse 57, and they said, the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And now we can go to the Greek, or we can go to the Hebrew, and we can say, we're going to try to verify this word, the definition of this word, I am, and see if it's the same one that reflects in Exodus. But we don't have to. All we have to do is go to verse 59. If we stay in the context of what it says, you'll see in verse 59 it says, And then took they up stones, the Jews, to cast at him, because they understood that he said, I am is the same I am that's over there in Exodus chapter 3. The context tells us without having to go through a whole lot of different maneuvers to get there. They understood it. And if they understood it, certainly we should understand it. I don't want to lose my page here. Okay, so I was thinking, Brother Jim went through some of the I Ams and mentioned them several weeks ago. And I thought that was very interesting because the Saturday night before he did his Sunday morning service, I was going through these myself. They just popped up to me, and I thought, this is really something. Where two people can kind of be on the same wavelength, I guess. And I was putting together this message as I just compile information in order to get a message together. And so I'm going to go through them just a little bit, even though Brother Jim did. And so Jesus says these things about I am. And so I just listed them in order, and they're all in the book of John. Jesus says, I am the living bread. And I think that sometime I will probably do this as a message and go into each one of these in depth a little bit to go through what all this means. And though he says that in John 6:51, and then he just says, I am the light of the word, or I am the light of the world in John 8:12. And he says, I am the door, and I went through a little bit of the things of the door that are mentioned in the Bible, and that's in John 10:9. And then he says, I am the good shepherd in John 10:11. Then he says, I am the resurrection and the life in John 11:25. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. And then he says, the seventh one, he says, I am the vine and ye are the branches in John 15:5. But there's a couple of more here that he says, I am. There are a couple of more. These are the pronounced ones, and these are the ones that we are generally associated with and know more about them than others. But if you would turn to John chapter 8. Again, keep your place in Exodus, because I believe we'll come back there. John chapter 8, verse 18. One that we don't give reference to as much and as often is one of this one where Jesus says, I am. I am one that bear witness of myself. And the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. We're talking about the witness of Jesus Christ. And his witness was that he was deity. He was God himself. And he not only bears witness of himself in this respect, but God the Father bears witness here in this verse. And he also says in John that this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. That was bearing witness to the deity of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist himself says the same thing. He came to was a forerunner to announce that the deity of Jesus Christ was coming. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. And he gives witness to this. Jesus himself says, well, if you don't believe my witness, at least believe for the work's sake. And we look at some of the work's sakes that Jesus did to prove that he was deity or to show his deity. He raised the dead. He cast out demons or devils. He walked on water. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear. He did this in a time when it had been done before by the Old Testament prophets, and even God himself intervenes in the Old Testament, but nobody in the current time frame where Jesus Christ is for at least 400 years has done anything like this. And it shows his deity, and he intended to do that. And the purpose for all of this, to show his deity and his witness, was that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he was going to draw all men to him. And he is the light of the men in this life. And we even see this in Exodus before his pre-incarnate birth. I've got so many different things here. Okay. So if you would, we'll go to the next event there, which is in Exodus again, in Exodus chapter 6, another thing that typifies Christ. We'll go to Exodus 6:1, and I'll start there. And then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. With a strong hand shall he let them go, the people of Israel, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and he said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I look at when this was possibly written, and it says about 1,500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2,500 years from the beginning of creation, and nobody knows God's name is Jehovah. Nobody. Not that it's recorded. They know him as I am, but we didn't find that out until a couple of chapters ago when Moses starts writing this. And God, I see God doesn't reveal himself. It's a progressive revelation of God in the Bible from Genesis all the way through. I see this progressive revelation of God. If you would, we'll go to the first time, the first mention of God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. God doesn't tell us who he is, where he's at, how to get a hold of him, how to seek him. He just comes out and says, I'm God and this is what I'm doing. I do like Pastor's footnote here underneath that. And he says the first words of the Bible debunk the religions of all the religions of the world, all the philosophies, Calvinism, atheism, evolutionism. This four or five word sentence takes care of all that. Interesting to me that even though it doesn't say much about God, it reveals a lot about God. I'm not a scholar. I don't do a lot of academics, but one of the things that I had learned from someone else was that in the area of what we call physics, the physical realm of the world that we live in, you can kind of categorize all the things that man knows about his physical world. There's a lot of things, but it's into five different categories, basically. And the categories are time, and force, and action, and space, and matter. Man can take everything that he knows and basically put them in them five categories. And when I read this and somebody pointed this out to me, I thought, this is something. God, even though he doesn't reveal himself, all of that information is here in this verse. Right here in this verse. He said, in the beginning. That's time. God, that's the force. Created, that's the action. The heavens, that's space. And the earth, that's matter. It's all in here. God summarized everything for us in the first verse. And so I went through some of these things too. I just looked them up myself. Now I know this is a kind of a rabbit trail here, but if you think about time, time has three elements, three major elements. You have the past, the present, and the future. And God does things in threes, and I think the threes that he does represent God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in everything he does. If you look at force, which is basically power, force has three elements to it, major elements. You have the physical force, you have moral force, and you have mechanical force. God does these three things, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Action. Action is moving, but action has three elements to it, three major elements. You have a mechanical action, you have a spontaneous action, and you have a voluntary action. These are the laws of physics. They're there, and God put them there. Space. We talk about space, and the Bible says the third heaven. So you have the first heaven, which is atmosphere. You have the second heaven, which is our planetary system. And then you have the third heaven, which is the universe, or what the old atheist Carl Sagan used to say, the cosmos. He would say the cosmos. Greek is everything, okay? Well, Carl's not been with us for about 20 years. I remember the day that they made the announcement that he left this world and entered into the other world, where he met the creator of the cosmos, okay? And then we have matter. Matter is also three elements: solids, gases, and liquids. And God does it in threes, and he puts all this, crams all this into this one verse, but he really doesn't tell us a whole lot by the verse itself in the context of who he is. On the other hand, if we go to, if I can find my reference here, if we go to the book of John, chapter 21, I'm amazed how much the book of John mirrors this book of Exodus. John chapter 21, verses 24 and 25, so the last two verses in the book. And it says in verse 24, it says, "This is the disciple," and he's talking about John himself, "which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." John said, this is what I saw, this is what is real, this is what happened, this is what true. And verse 25 says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if he should be written every one of them, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ shows us everything. It's all here. And there's so many things that he reveals to us that God himself didn't about himself. And the revelation is progressive. You got to stay with it. You got to get into it, pray on it, study it, read it, and ask God to give you more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of his word. So I will sum this up in John chapter 14. Verses 5. It says here, we're talking about Thomas. "And Thomas saith unto the Lord, We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way." He's going into this I am again. "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I had an opportunity, and I'll just mention this here. At the funeral of my mother in the Catholic cathedral, after they had their service, they gave me permission to speak. And so I wanted to tell my family and friends and loved ones and relatives about the Lord, aside from the three men that were there in the robe sitting on the high cathedral, and they were sitting up on the high chairs, you know, and I felt, man, this is really something. And the stained glass windows and all this pomp that goes on there in that church. And I just said, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man." And I said, you know, there's about 6 billion people on the face of this earth. And I looked over at them three guys in a chair, and I said, and not one of them can come to the Father unless they come through Jesus Christ. And then I gave them Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "He whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord," I said, "now you can put those 6 billion names right here if they want to, and call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." In verse 7, he says, "If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and ye have seen him." I'm sure they were spinning. Their heads were spinning. And Philip saith in verse 8 unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father?" Christ is God Almighty. He is God Almighty. He's not God the Father, but he's God Almighty. And he represents all the things that God doesn't reveal to us about himself in the Old Testament. Jesus culminates it all together, and we can understand. And so we're supposed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. That's why we come every Sunday. That's why we go through this book and study and learn. I'm just learning. I'm just learning like everybody else. So I'll close there. Then I'll pray and thank the Lord. Father, we do thank you for your revelation, for your perfect holy word, for your Son who brings it all to us, Lord, for his shed blood and his sacrifice, for all the things that he does for us. And he is worthy. And pray that we could put down our flesh long enough to recognize that, to see it, to be in the Spirit, and see that, I won't even go into it, Lord. There's some very personal things here that I see that I think you're telling us, and maybe we don't listen, but I pray that you would give us the understanding to hear and see the things that you would let us know how we're supposed to our relationship with you on a day-to-day basis. Lord, we just thank you for these things, and we do it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.